the beauty of a medicine tribe is that every individual is going to have individual gifts that can help on some particular healing level or on something. So the beauty of modern medicine person is that we get together and we get to share notes and we get to trade ideas.
Welcome to the Alchemist Lounge. What if you could hang out with high-performing executives, entrepreneurs, and leaders? Ask them about how psychedelics have impacted their self-improvement journeys. Then take an insight or two to guide your own growth. Each week, Alex Atwood takes an in-depth look at how psychedelics can increase fulfillment, solve personal problems affecting your career, and help you gain the success you seek. Alex is an executive and psychedelics coach to high performers, and his goal is to provide strategies to help you reduce conflict, bring awareness, and balance your life through the use of psychedelics. Now, here's Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of The Alchemist Lounge. And today's episode is one that I've been waiting for a very long time. When I have conversations with people about meditative states and about getting in touch with themselves, getting in touch, you know, relaxing, being able to let go, I hear so much about communing with nature. I've heard that over and over again, whether it's a hike, whether it's a walk, whether it's just going outside and sitting next to a tree, just laying out in the grass. Communing with nature seems to be a thread amongst human beings in terms of being able to connect. And today I have somebody who has not only has learned how to commune with nature, but now offers that to others in so many different ways. He's an ecologist. He is a medicine man, and we'll learn a little bit more about that in a second. And he specializes in facilitating deep, mystical, sacred plant ceremonies and nature reconnection experiences. And he does it all couched in nature because he is an expert in ecology and nature. His name is Andy Sudbrock, and he has a deep connection with Mother Earth. It's powerful, contagious, and I'm very excited because this will be his first time appearing on a podcast. So Andy, I want to welcome you to the Alchemist Lounge.
Thank you so much, Alex. And it is a true pleasure to be here with you, my friend. Thank you.
Yes, it is. So let's dive in. I want to start on a particular curiosity I had around mystery school teachings. So when I was looking through your pre-interview sheet, I heard that, and you and I have known each other for some time now, and I had not heard about the mystery school. So tell me, what are mystery school teachings?
Fantastic question. Great place to start. There are some amazing books. You know, Brian Mirarescu just wrote The Religion with No Name. It does a really wonderful, wonderful job of going back into the history, into the deep history. And basically, when I'm referring to mystery school, really referring to, you know, the Eleusinian mysteries in ancient Greece, where the high priests and the people who really had something going on, it would be invited to become an initiate. This was not something that you just said, I'm going to go and do this powerful medicine and sit with God. You had to be invited and you had to train. It's beautiful. And now where we are in this reemergence and the reappreciation of the beauty and the healing potentials of plant medicines, in particular, a return to the respect and to the humility, to the sacred nature of this work that was part and parcel of the early mystery schools, is to me essential. If I'm not in a place of humility and sacred space and deep love and respect, I'm not operating properly. So I strive to be in that. And within the mystery schools, it's history, and we have to piece things together. But so much has been lost about what initiates would learn. And there are records, and we can kind of piece some things together. I'm fascinated about what we would call today in modern society, in biohacking terms, stacking, what we would call stacking of sacred practices. Okay. So we all hear about that in biohacking, right? Stacking. Oh, do this, that, and that for your physical health. But where I go is this stacking into the spiritual realm. What can we do to increase our spiritual health, our connection with the divine, That's where I like to go and be and take people, right? And I find that in nature, of course, as you experience. So stacking in the mystery schools today, I love to explore what we can do as modern mystics, okay? Because we're modern mystics now. So how can we take these amazing medicines that we have access to and use them very wisely with great humility for specific intentions of healing and increasing love and connection and all of those things. So let's say in a mystery school, maybe we're going to go and learn. And this is what we do in Costa Rica. When I bring people on retreats in Costa Rica, we'll practice with various levels of medicine, be it a low dose, a medium, high dose. Okay, let's get in the medicine space. Let's be with the medicine. And then let's do our meditation practice. See what happens in there. In that medicine space, let's do yoga. See what happens there. Because a lot of people do a lot of these things, but they do them separately. Let's put them together, as real mystics will. And let's do breath work in the medicine space. Let's do ecstatic dance within the medicine space. Let's do primal screaming within the medicine space. Let's do all of these things that we know are beneficial to our human experience on this life, add medicines and just see the results 10x. So that's the modern mystery school that I like to play in. Everything I do in this work, everything I do, it all comes down to reconnection. I've given great thought about to this and meditated on this. And what I've come up with is when I work with people in either one-on-one or group settings, what I'm really good at and try to help people along with is that reconnection on three distinct levels. I'm going to go through those. And nature, and this is mystery school work. So if you come to work with Andy in mystery school, we're going to work on reconnection. We're going to work on reconnection with yourself. I mean, how many people today are completely disconnected from their true self? With modern society rushing, hustle culture, constant social media comparison and this and that, all that garbage, it just disconnects people from their true nature. Copy? So number one is get reconnected to self. And we do that beautifully. The medicine is so good at that. Number two is reconnecting with others, right? So just like we have done and we're doing now, we're connecting virtually now, but you know, we know that there's a big difference between connecting virtually and connecting in person. A huge difference, right? So connecting, getting together in tribe, in community, and intentionally forming our community, our tribe. We get to pick our friends. We get to pick our family. Why not pick the best, right?
Why not? Right? Yeah.
And I pick you. So we get to reconnect community, which is, again, in today's world when we're so isolated and kind of siloed. And of course, the last few years have really exacerbated that and shown how disconnected we are from each other. And the need for that human connection is just essential. Thirdly, reconnection with spirit. Okay. And I'm just going to use spirit because it's a nice generic term. We can say reconnecting with God. Reconnecting with the divine, reconnecting with the one, with the power, with the source. I reconnect with Mother Nature. I get my strength from Mother Nature. She renews me. She keeps me grounded. She keeps me on an even keel. And I know that time in nature and time in nature with friends and time in nature with medicine connects me to spirit. Quicker, straightest line to connection with spirit and joy that there is. So to me, properly, the proper use of medicines, preferably mushroom medicine, taken with friends and to go spend the day in the woods is to me the best way to spend a day, high holy day. And we are delving into the modern mystery school when we go walking in the woods on mushrooms. Mm.
That was a great explanation and very ethereal and one that would possibly puzzle some that have never done any of this work. So I happen to know about your background And, you know, hearing you speak that way, one would think, wow, you know, he must have been born in perhaps an ashram somewhere in the somewhere in the woods or the Himalayas and raised by, you know, spiritual guides. But I happen to know that's not the case. As a matter of fact, far from it. So how did the current version of Andy Sudbrock come to be?
Wow. Boy, that's a long and winding road, you know? But I'll try to give you some clip notes.
And yeah.
I know.
Give us some highlights.
Okay. Well, we've spoken about the fact that I grew up in the concrete jungle. I grew up in the city in New York.
New York City.
Grew up in the Bronx in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Yeah. So in the city, and in my whole childhood, I never felt right. Nothing felt right. I was a fish out of water and I just couldn't figure it out. And I was always getting into trouble. Of course, you know, my nervous system was just not right because I was in this high intensity, high frequency, fast pace city, you know, filthy garbage and all this stuff. And it overwhelmed my nervous system.
How did that show up?
Period.
How did that show up as a kid?
In acting out, you know, kind of being a troubling kid, a juvenile delinquent. Mm-hmm. I was always in trouble. Yeah. Nothing made sense to me. Nothing made sense. And in addition to that, this is interesting too. I grew up, I'm the son of a minister, you know, who had a church. And so I was brought up, there's kind of two parts to this story. So I was brought up very much in a religious household with told what to believe. This is the truth. This is what we believe. If you want to be a part of our family, this is what you believe. Hmm. You got to go with the flow, right? So I went with that until I just couldn't, because it just didn't make sense to me. And I'm not saying it does. Man, if it works for you, bless you. Love that. Keep it. Dive in. Be connected to God as deeply as you can. But the organized religion path just didn't work for me. I felt like a fish out of water. I felt like I could never really feel good. But then we would go camping. We would leave, go camping for summer vacations. And I would notice immediately, once I was in nature, I just felt different. I felt calm. I felt grounded. I felt centered. I felt like the key went into the lock and clicked. Hmm. I could feel just like that. It was that profound. And every time, and then the longer we spent in the woods, the better I felt, the better I felt. Well, my parents noticed this too, you know, and I was just such a kind of a troublesome kid that finally it worked to my advantage and they sent me upstate. I got sent upstate to kind of a wilderness school for delinquent youth. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I got up in there and I was immersed in nature. And man, I tell you, Alex, within a month, I felt like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to feel. Within a month, just being in nature, connected, grounded in the forest, without all the hustle, without all the distraction. And so that's been a knowing. And so then I became completely and utterly in love with Mother Nature. I mean, she is my my goddess, Mother Nature.
It happened right away.
And so then,
like, as soon as you went to the woods, it right away.
Immediately. It was returning home and it just clicked. And that's it. And so and now I live in the woods in a beautiful place, which is great. But it took a long time to get here. And it took a long time to figure out what works for me and what doesn't work for me. What works for me and what doesn't. And this, so my journey has been a really valuable training in leading up to what I get to help other people do now, right? To figure out, okay, you're feeling dysregulated. You're feeling like you don't fit in. You're feeling like you don't belong. Let's go there. Like, let's get quiet. Let's clear away all the chatter.
Yeah.
Let's clear it away until we can get back to you. Okay, now we can ask, what do you need? What makes you shine? What makes you feel good? What lights you up? But first we have to get quiet. We have to clear away that surface clutter that we live in. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Well,
and a profound healing can happen.
I'm very curious because I'm hearing now how the sudden spark and key fit into that hole and ignited you. And then your path took the direction of ecology, which makes a lot of sense given your passion about nature. So tell me about where ecology led you to the path, the sacred path that you're on now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, so I ended up going to college. Wonderful. Prescott College in Arizona. Great little kind of a hippie outdoor environmental school. Absolutely loved my time there. Love it. And I studied ecology because I wanted to, I mean, who's my goddess is Mother Nature. And I want to learn more about her. How do I protect her? Mm. How do I love her deeper? How do I protect her? So I became an ecologist to study the way she works, the way she operates, and then also studied and kind of invented, went into a new line of work that was just being invented at the time called restoration ecology. And that is where I go and actively restore damaged plant communities. So I restore nature back to health. Mm. So I discovered, so I've been working for 30 plus years restoring nature, restoring Mother Earth. But in hindsight, Alex, I'm looking now the whole time that I thought I was restoring Mother Earth, she was restoring me.
Wow.
Period. Yeah. And so that connection, that love affair, let's just call it what it is. I have a love affair with Mother Earth, with nature. And that love affair has just continues to grow and to deepen. And my devotion to her and my love for her and my respect for her just continues to grow and deepen. It's such a beautiful, wonderful relationship. And within that relationship, I feel so connected and I feel protected and I feel grounded and I feel fed at a spiritual level that I need to feel completely whole as Andy walking this earth today. Yeah.
When did psychedelics start to become a part of what you do?
Well, you know the answer to that.
But I'll, well, I know part of it, so, but I'm
okay.
I'm
one, of yeah. course, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. So, as in everything, there's a whole backstory, and of course, you and I have a wonderful common interest. We're both Grateful Dead fans. We both love the Grateful
That's
Dead.
That's right.
And I was introduced. Yeah. So I'm fortunate enough to be of the of the generation that I got to catch a bunch of live Grateful Dead shows at the end of the 1980s. Mm. And I don't discount that. I'm very, very glad. And so that was my introduction to Grateful Dead with psychedelics, but psychedelics done intentionally, right? Because what the Grateful Dead did for us, which is so, I mean, so many, basically they set up a church for us to come and dance with and love each other.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Grateful Dead set up a church for us to dance with each other and love each other. And then, so I really learned about the benefit and the value of psychedelics taken intentionally, you know, with a purpose there, and learned a lot there. And then, of course, life went on. I got married, I had children, and I had to adult, you know, for 20 years. So kind of got out of that scene, which is great. So I did, you know, my professional career, built successful businesses, doing restoration ecology. And then my life crashed and burned. In 2015, I was in a near-death auto accident. I was hit three times. I was hit from a truck from behind who pushed me into the vehicle in front of me and it turned my vehicle over, pushed me into oncoming traffic where I was hit head-on at full speed by a third driver. All of this happened, you know, in the time space of 1 second. Mm. But you can imagine what my head did. It was like a bowling ball on a piece of spaghetti. So I got a ton of neck damage and I got some brain damage. I mean, it was really intense physical trauma. And that was in 2015. And then shortly after that, at the time I had a successful horticulture business that I was working and it was really cruising along, steaming. I couldn't do that work anymore. So I lost that business. Mm. So I had a near-death experience, lost my livelihood. Shortly after that, my marriage split up, right? So, you know, right, things come in threes. So that sequence of events, Alex, brought me to my knees. And I came to a crossroads during that. I'm going to get real with you. So when my life burned to the ground at that point, I came to the jumping off spot. I have to decide. am I going to stick around? Am I going to do this thing? Right? And if I am, I have to get better. I have to figure out how to get better. Because I was so broken. I was so devastated. I was so destroyed by what happened there in my life. I didn't know what to do. Mm. And so that got me on the medicine path. Okay. Mm. As often, you know, things do, that got me back on the medicine path. And that got me back. It was grandmother ayahuasca who called to me. Mm. And I started working with her. And she's such a loving spirit, you know, such a beautiful grandmother energy. Mm. And she guided me for a couple of years. She was my primary teacher. And I actually ended up making my way down to Peru to sit with Shipibo shaman and some Quiro shaman in the Andes. And it was during particularly high note ayahuasca experience that grandmother, she initiated me. She said, your life, will you give your life to me, to the service of others? And I said, yes. And boom, at that moment, everything changed. And I received a kind of an energy, a download. It was very beautiful, weeping, tears, just everything. And she told me at that moment, she said, Andy, your medicine to bring to the people is the mushroom medicine. Hmm. That was clear. That was the direction. Your medicine to bring to the people is the mushroom medicine. So those were my marching orders. Thank goodness they were so simple and so direct and so clear, because ever since then I have been on that path. Okay. Because she has shown me the way, and she's shown me my medicine. I worked with grandmother ayahuasca for years, but she showed me that my medicine is the mushroom medicine. And now that is the medicine that I get to serve to other people and to help them rebound from devastating life circumstances, or to simply reconnect and elevate their lives on all levels.
Listening to your journey, where it started in the concrete jungles of Brooklyn and the Bronx, New York, and mm-hmm. led to so many different discoveries and passions and connectedness, it's really inspiring. Now I'm hearing that the 21st century, with people like you on this side of the ocean, on the west side of the ocean, that understand the people here in the US and our journey and our stress and some of our disconnected ways that seem to be compounding as technology begins to pervade every waking moment of our lives. I've heard you talk about shamanism, and specifically 21st century shamanism. And even the word shaman is somewhat controversial in a way, because people have labeled themselves shamans. I know that there was the guy who was part of the January 6th. What was his name? I don't remember. Whatever it was.
Oh, the QAnon shaman.
The QAnon shaman, yeah. So yeah. That word is just that word is just kind of thrown around quite mm-hmm. a bit.
Yeah. So that's a prime example of misuse of that term right yeah. there.
I totally agree. So let's clear the air here in terms of shamanism. What do you define like shamanism? And specifically, if you want to think about 21st century shamanism.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful question. Beautiful question. In my opinion, again, this is my opinion, shaman is a term that others bestow upon you, not one that you bestow upon yourself. It's a sacred honor. And so traditionally, the shamans in all across history, all across society, have been the ones who have gone to the places others are afraid to go, and who actually has the ability to enter into portals, to enter into other dimensions, to enter into other spiritual realms, and to practice that, to go in, be able to navigate, to find the nuggets, to find the gold, like Terence McKenna always so eloquently spoke about. Find those bits of wisdom and bring them back to tell us. So the shamans of old and the shamans of today, I would say, are people who have, first of all, first and foremost, a direct connection to spirit. My opinion, there is no shamanism without a direct connection to spirit. And that direct connection to spirit, again, in my opinion, that's where our gifts come from. I'm not going to call them powers. I'll call them gifts, because like in our group, as you and I, we have in any medicine group, the beauty of a medicine tribe is that every individual is going to have individual gifts that can help on some particular healing level or on something. So the beauty of modern medicine person is that we get together and we get to share notes and we get to trade ideas. We get to trade medicines like we just did in San Diego with our third wave reunion. I was out there just reveling in the fact that, you know, even 100 years ago, in order for medicine people to get together, it probably meant, you know, an annual rendezvous somewhere, a powwow that took days and days of walking or horseback riding to get together just once a year. So you can meet up with the other medicine people, share notes, share medicine, all the things. And we get to do that now with greater frequency. So I've rambled there. Let me get back to what I define as a shaman. A 21st century shaman, in my opinion, is someone who first and foremost has a direct connection to spirit, and that direct connection is not only visible, but it's palpable.
Yeah, I wanted to learn about, because there's a fascinating alchemy behind the creation of the Sacred Path. And the alchemy behind the creation of Sacred Path. So let's chat a little bit about that. Like, you know, what led to that retreat?
A very beautiful circuitous route that's still in motion. It's still being created. It's in motion right now. And it's, man, it's got legs. I'm happy. So a couple of years ago, Alex, remember you and I were in Utah. We were at our retreat for our third wave program. And we were given an assignment. And the assignment was design your coaching program, designed around integration, which was a perfect question. But the question at that time, at that day, in that place, just wasn't resonating with me. It just didn't capture my attention. I thought, I don't want to waste this time that we have together. And so I need to come up with a question that I do want to answer, that I do. So the invitation was, what kind of a coaching offer would you like to make? I twisted and I said, what does Andy's perfect life look like? I thought, why not? Why not sit with that? Like, we have an hour. Why not? What a great question. Why don't I design Andy's perfect life within that context of our program, of our training, and the business that we're building to help other people? And so with that question, I just sat with that and let the answers come. And the answers came in just boom, 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 said, Andy's perfect life is living a spiritually centered life, serving others and helping others and serving others through medicine and through reconnection and all of the shamanic arts that we practice, right? Helping others and doing so in beautiful tropical locations, because our wonderful powers that be still deem these medicines as dangerous and illegal. So for the time being, you know, we got to do what we got to do. And if that means go to Costa Rica to serve the medicine or go to Jamaica, hey, sign me up. I'm in. So I just wrote down on that one afternoon that we were together, I would like to have a spiritually centered medicine retreat at least once per quarter and go to a beautiful tropical location, meet with amazing, interesting, fascinating people, and see the lights come on. So I wrote that, and that's happening. Hmm. And it's actually steamrolling. So where I had written down one retreat per quarter, now I've got, Alex, this spring I've got a retreat in Jamaica in April. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, in March. I'm going to Jamaica in March, back to Jamaica in April, to Costa Rica at the end of April, and then back to Costa Rica at the end of May. And these are all for medicine retreats. So
wow.
You put the intention out there, pure intention with love and humility, and put some energy and action behind it, dreams come true.
That is beautiful.
Miracles happen. It's as simple as that.
Are you serving medicine in most of these, or if these are all part of your Sacred Path retreat?
They're not all Sacred Path retreats. And thank you for that clarification. So I had to come up with a name, and I sat during that exercise and I came up with perfect name, Sacred Path. And I don't think I came up with it. I think it was, it was given to me. That was divine inspiration. But, you know, the name for what I do, Sacred Path, really, really fits, because the nature of the work I do is sacred if I'm doing it correctly. And yeah, if it's not sacred, I'm not doing my job properly. And also, it is a path. It's not a destination, right? This is, I mean, to be on a, what I would call, there's a couple of journeys here. So there's a healing journey, which is where most people get started into the medicine path. They come to it for healing. Hopefully the medicine's calling them. They're not chasing it. So there's the medicine, right? But then as I've experienced and what you've experienced and what many of our friends have experienced is once we do the healing work, then we get into the mystical path, right? Once we clear away that clutter debris, that clutter garbage, then with the aid of the medicine, we can dive deeply and go into amazing mystical realms, which, as you know, impossible to describe. You have to experience them. And in those mystical realms, that's where I love to be, to spend time and to take others in, because there we are sitting. You just feel it 100%. You are in direct connection with the divine. And I really don't want anything other than that, to be in direct connection with the divine. So I have developed a path that worked for me, right? Which includes a whole bunch of trying different things. And now we call that the sacred path. And now I get to invite other beautiful humans to join me on the sacred path and to come experience that union with the divine. That Alex is a game changer. It is a game changer. If somebody's life is off track, if they're feeling stunted, if they're feeling bored, if they're feeling anything, any of the modern maladies we have, man, if we can just get quiet and go to the forest, tap into that direct connection with the divine, that's where the magic happens. Yes.
And having personally experienced that and having you facilitate that and create that for me and others that came to see you for a weekend at your retreat in Tennessee, it was absolutely a different relationship that I have with nature coming out of that. So for those that would like to work with you, experience a journey, or just connect with maybe some of the work that you've done, what's the best way to do that?
Great question. Well, I would say go to the website, the Imaloa. I work a lot with the Imaloa Institute in Costa Rica. And if you go to the Imaloa website and search Sacred Path, my retreat will come up there and it will show. And we've got one coming up, by the way, in April 20 to 25, Dominical, Costa Rica. So we've got space left. So I would say go to Google Imaloa Sacred Path. They can find me on Instagram is the best way. I've got two accounts. One is Andy_Sudbrock. And then I've got a Sacred Path account too. So I think it's sacred_path_retreats on Instagram.
Got it. How do you spell Imaloa for those?
And you can also go to sacredpath.co. So
sacredpath.co. And then how do you spell
sacredpath.co? But the way most people, but the way most people find me, Alex, is through friends like you.
Yeah, that's right. Anyone listening really resonated with Andy and his journey from the concrete jungle to the forests of Tennessee and then down the psychedelic medicine path to find healing and joy and inspiration. You can check him out at thesacredpath.co. Andy Sudbrock is his name. Thank you so much for joining us here in the Alchemist Lounge, Andy. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience before we close today's episode?
Yes. Thank you, Alex. Thank you for that invitation. Thank you for this invitation to be with you on your podcast today. This is my very first podcast.
Yeah.
Because I'm shy about I'm a forest hermit. And so this is stepping out for me, but thank you for giving such a beautiful invitation and you know, being able to do my first podcast with a friend is so special. And that leads me to another part of the reconnection thought I want to leave people with.
Please.
Today in 2023, if I'm looking around at the world and kind of what needs fixing, what needs repairing, to me, it is connection. Good connection with other people. You know, we're all, people are divided into factions and tribes and this and that. That is not working. We can see that. But when we can get together, you know, when we can get together in a medicine circle and form community and do this deep work together, do this deep healing work. So we see each other, we know each other deeply. Like I know you deeply, deeply and intimately, Alex, because we've done some things together. From that connection, from that friendship is so important today and just connecting. So I've been in such joy after last weekend connecting with our tribe, you know, at our rendezvous in San Diego. And again, I just constantly, every day when I meditate and say thanks, I'd say thank you for my friends, for my family, for my tribe, for my community, to be and to go out and to intentionally create connections and community. To me, is super important today, and I know it's super important to all of the other medicine people, and we're finding each other with greater intensity and frequency, which is so exciting. So let's just let's keep that rolling, and you are helping with this podcast by bringing us together, helping us find each other, and then once we find each other, we just have to get together and love each other.
Thank you. And at the end of the day, it's all about love. Thank you so much, brother. You
yes,
brought
it is.
Such beautiful energy. And I am so honored to be your first podcast. That is amazing. I thank you for being so just open about, you know, your background, and so fascinating to learn about you. And I know our audience has been entertained, hopefully inspired by Andy's story, sacredpath.co. If you'd like to join him on his sacred path and find your own sacred path, please do. Thanks, Andy, and bye for now.
Thanks for listening in to the Alchemist Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review on Apple iTunes. To catch all the latest from Alex Atwood, you can check out his website at alexatwood.co. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time at the Alchemist Lounge.